a sinner, but I came pardon to receive from my Lord. This was freely given, and I found that he always kept his word. And there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story, a sinner has come home. And there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And with my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to roam. I was humbly kneeling at the cross, fearing not but God's angry frown. When the heavens opened and I saw that my name was written down, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story, a sinner has come home. And there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to roam. In the book 'tis written, saved by grace, oh, the joy that came to my soul. Now I am forgiven, and I know by the blood I am made whole. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story, a sinner has come home. And there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine.
I hope to pray and pray that
and with my sins forgiven,
I'm bound for heaven. Praise God, what a message and what a great joy. I am grateful to have you on this broadcast today. I believe it's going to be one of our best, and I'm excited. And I hope you will get excited, and we're going to learn together. We're going to dig in together. Now, you saw the theme, maybe, or maybe you didn't. Let me let you see it. This, the music of an apostate church. The music of an apostate church. Now, that's a big subject. Wow. That's a big subject. And I want you to get in the middle of it. Now, once the broadcast is in motion here for a few minutes, we have a guest that's going to join us, a very dear man. His name is Reverend Joey Yates. He pastors a church in Danville, Virginia, and is a marvelous preacher, man. In fact, he'll be here next Sunday and preaching both services 1 week from today, next Sunday morning. That's something like the 6th, I think, of October. Well, next Sunday, week away. Hey, the subject is very important. What kind of music? Do you know, of all the things I hear, nothing do I hear more about than I don't like my music anymore. I don't like the music in our church anymore. I hear that more than anything else that I hear from people. I don't like our music. What has happened to our music? Everybody's asking that question almost throughout the church world. That is the old timers, I guess. Maybe some of the new timers. I can't answer that. I just know that's what I hear more than any other complaint about the church world. What has happened to our music? Why has our music taken a new route? I don't even understand it. I can't even understand the words. I certainly don't know the words. It doesn't do anything for me except frustrate me. And I'm hearing that from everywhere. I really am. And so we're going to talk today about the music of an apostate church. Now, you're not going to believe this. But in just a moment, as Joey comes in the line with me, we're going to talk about Beatle music. Music that has been written by the Beatles and a Beatle-type music. I've been dealing with this, 30 years. Have a video. You can get this video. It's now a DVD or a CD on, Beatle music in the church. Beatle music in the church. Now, why would rock and roll, why would some kind of contemporary music take over in the church world? What is the difference? What is the difference between that music and our original music, the music we most of us was raised on? You know, we sing out of a book called The Church Hymnal, red back book. Well, you can get them out of the colors, but this is published by the Pathway Press. That's the church I used to be part of, Church of God. And this, I used to find this everywhere I went. It didn't matter whether it was a Baptist church or what it was. If it was a fundamental church, Bible believing, they would sing out of that book. Well, we still sing out of it. We call it the King James Hymn Book, the King James Bible Hymn Book, because it is so full of the Bible, it's overwhelming. It really is overwhelming, whether you're talking about the rapture, or the coming of the Lord at the day of judgment, or the thousand-year millennial reign, the battle of Armageddon, the binding of Satan for 1,000 years, the blood, sanctification, holiness. I mean, almost every subject in the Bible is in this songbook one way or another. And if you sing out of that book, you're going to get a Bible education. You really are. You're going to get a Bible education. Did you know the music you sing will make, will make a connection on your mind and will, will be remembered and will become a part of your life. And you're thinking probably more than anything else that can happen to you. Music just is something you memorize. It automatically is something you memorize. I know when we sing from week to week, we'll sing a song I hadn't heard in many years, and I'll just be singing right along. The words are just familiar. I still remember them. There's very few songs in that book that I don't remember the words to. And I sing with joy. I don't enjoy singing if I'm not singing the words. I don't enjoy singing if I don't hear the words. I could care less for music without words, without Bible, without truth. I just don't want it. I want music that brings the Bible to my heart, that brings the things of God into my mind, that causes me to rejoice in the future and what's awaiting us at the end of the road. I mean, just so much in that book that is such a blessing. Now, there's other songs beside what's in that book that we sing. We sing good songs. I don't tolerate music that is not biblical music. You see, Let me try to explain very simply the difference between most of the music today and the old music. The old music was centered on God. It was centered on the Bible. It was centered on promises. It was centered on the hope of the future. It was centered on the horror of sin and the turning away from sin. It was centered on Bible things that made you think Bible, made you think God, made you think the spiritual realm. Well, the music today is the opposite. It's centered on man. It's man-centered rather than God-centered. If there's any reason the new music is not good, it's because it's not centered on God. And then some of it is written, like one song that we're going to talk about called My Sweet Lord. My Sweet Lord. That was written by one of the Beatles, and he wrote it to Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. He was a worshiper of Hare Krishna. And so he called Hare Krishna his Lord. And then that song is being sung in churches. That song is being sung in churches. Can you believe that? Written to Hare Krishna, and now it's being sung in churches. Well, when people say, well, we just changed the tune and changed the Lord. Well, you don't sing what that crowd wrote because their spirit is in their song. No songwriter that writes any song that does not put a little of them into that song. And so their spirit goes with that song. Their spirit is part of that song. I don't care how you try to change the meaning of the song. If you're singing something somebody wrote who was an apostate, who was a devil worshiper, who worshiped Hare Krishna or any other of the false gods, you don't sing those songs. Not if you've got good understanding. Not if you understand the spirit world. Everything in our world has some spiritual connection to it. Everything in our world has some spiritual connection. This is a spiritual world. Whether you understand that or not, it is a spiritual world. False spirits and the real spirit. Satan is the god of this world. Now listen to that. Satan is the god of this world. And anybody that's involved in the god of this world and they write their music for you are going to write things that reflect maybe in a kind of an obscure way, in a hidden manner, their god. And so it is very important that you get this. Now, when Brother Yates comes on the line with us, he's been digging in all of this, and he's going to have a host of things to show us. That song, My Sweet Lord, is being sung in churches. It's all over the YouTube. I mean, you go and you'll find it yourself. And they may sound like or look like they're singing it to God, but it was not written to God. It was written to Hare Krishna. And I'm now learning that there are lesbians and homosexuals who are deeply involved in writing gospel songs and writing gospel music. I don't care if the words are as pure as the riven snow. If they're written by somebody of a false lifestyle, you don't sing those songs. I recently told my singers, before you sing a new song, you go and study a little bit about their lifestyle. Study what kind of a person they are. What do they worship? Where do they worship? What is their theology? What is their personality? And if they're living a questionable life, I don't care how beautiful the song sounds. I don't care how melodious it might be. You don't sing it. You just don't. Not in this church. Not in this church. Now you say, Brother Chambers, you're hard-boiled. Well, I guess I am a little hard-boiled. I don't mean to be. I just want to be true biblical. I want to stay right with the Bible, and I want to help you to stay right with the Bible. Do you understand that? Does that sound okay? Now, let me take you to the Psalmist David's Psalm 101. 101. His songs are just breathtaking. You got to understand, David wrote about 1,000 songs. My information tells me over 1,000 songs. We don't know many of them, but many of them are in the Psalms. I don't know whether you know this one or not. This is one that I love. It is, let me just find it right quick here. I should have already been at it, but I wasn't. Well, how did that get missed a place there? Come on now. Anyhow, Psalms 49, I can find it. Psalms 49, if you want to read it with me. Psalms 4, oh, I know what I did. Here we go. Listen to this. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north. The city of the great king. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. Now, can you imagine? We sing that. Oh, it's beautiful. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountains of his holiness. Now, listen to Psalms 100. Listen, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. See, it is biblical to come before the presence of God with singing. That's biblical. Come before my presence, he says, with singing. Now, what are you going to sing to him? You're in the presence of God, or should be, or want to be, ought to be. You yearn to be, I do, yearn to be in the presence of God. So what am I going to sing? I've got to sing something that exalts him. I got to sing something that exalts the Bible. I got to sing something that exalts one of his promises, or some of his great hopes, or some of the great prophetic future events. I got to do that. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. He made us. God made us. And so we're going to sing. Enter into his presence with singing. He said that. God said that. The Holy Spirit said that. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know you that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Now listen, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Now, this is talking about singing. This is talking about singing. Enter into his courts with praise. Enter into his house with singing. That's what he's saying. And he says, here's how you do. For enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. When scripture says, from the rising of the sun unto the setting thereof, we are to bless the name of the Lord. From the rising of the sun unto the setting thereof, we are to bless the name of the Lord. Let me tell you something the Holy Ghost is really saying to me is that the new era of the end time is upon us. And there's going to be a great emphasis of God the Father and God the Son in the time in front of us. You got to understand, the book of Revelation has the Lamb of God mentioned 27 times, but mentions the throne of God 32 times. The throne of God is named in Revelation 32 times. The throne of God, the Father. God the Father. And did you know, every time you say Son of God, oh, I love the Son of God. Oh, I worship the Son of God. You are honoring the Father because you say Son of God, Son of the Father. The Father gave his only begotten Son. The Father gave his only begotten Son. So when you say Son of God, you're giving honor unto God the Father. You're magnifying, you're praising, you're exalting God the Father. So make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Come before his presence with singing. Enter into church tomorrow and sing unto the Lord. If the song doesn't sing unto the Lord, then sing to the Lord under your breath and praise him with all your heart yourself, right where you're standing or sitting, and give God praise and honor. For the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting. And his truth endureth into all. Notice that his truth endureth unto all generations. Now, this is just talking about praise and honor and blessing the name of the Lord. Call honor and praise and blessing the name of the Lord. Nothing so wonderful as to bless God. Welcome, Brother Joey.
Hello, Brother Chambers. God bless you.
How are you, my dear brother? It's so good to have you on with me.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your invitation to come on.
Can you back off of your mic just a little bit because you're a little bit loud and I want to cut you up. And back off of your, it's not a mic, it's a phone, but you know how to do that. Brother Joey, I love the way you dig in the Bible.
Well, I enjoy studying and delving into the Word of God.
If there's anybody in the world that I talk to a lot on the Bible, it's you. And we love talking about the Bible together. I know I do.
Yes, we do. I always enjoy our conversations, Brother Sam.
Brother Joey, you've been digging in about the Beatle music. My gracious, I know you must be getting an education that kind of overwhelms you.
Well, I have. It's been very informative, educational things that I've learned, but also kind of scary to me because so much of the contemporary Christian music is taken from the world's music.
And so they really are just singing the world's music.
Yes, much of that contemporary Christian music just borrowed from the music of the world.
And so the songs are written by people that know nothing about God, and in many cases worship false gods. You told me about the song, "Sweet My Sweet Lord," and that one overwhelmed me. Let's talk about that at the beginning here.
Okay. Well, it was written by a man named George Harrison. He was a member of the Beatles, and the Beatles were part of that rebellious counterculture movement that took place in the 1960s. And one of the Beatles, John Lennon, he made some statements back then, kind of turned the church world upside down. And one thing that he said is, Christianity will go, it will vanish and shrink. And he said, I needn't argue about that. I'm right, and I will be proved right. And he said Jesus was all right, but his disciples were thick and ordinary. That meant they were, the way I understand it, just kind of stupid men. And he said it's them twisting it that ruins it for me.
So it was the disciples that ruined the church and the Christian world.
Well, it ruined Jesus, according to what John Lennon said.
Oh, boy, that was...
And he was one of the members of the Beatles group, too, that rock band that was just so popular back in the 1960s.
Well, they did great damage to the whole music world because they set the tone for what has almost become predominant now.
Oh, yes, and they played a great part in changing the culture of this country, back in the 60s.
So you're saying that the My Sweet Lord was actually written to a false god. Give us the name.
It was. Now, that song was written by a man named George Harrison. When he wrote that song, and it was released in 1970, the Beatles group had broken up at that time. But before they broke up, George Harrison had introduced them to transcendental meditation, and later on he developed this association with the Hare Krishna movement. And Krishna is one of the supreme deities in the Hindu religion, and George Harrison was really into that. And so he wrote My Sweet Lord, and these are his own words, that it was in honor to the god Krishna.
So it wasn't the Christianity at all. It was written to Hare Krishna.
That's right. It had nothing to do with Christianity. And the song itself, the lyrics, are kind of simple. And I think that's one reason it gained such great popularity. But it also had a pleasant melody to it, and it was an easy song to listen to. And in that song, he sang, "My sweet Lord, my Lord, my Lord, I really want to see you, really want to be with you. I really want to see you, Lord, take so long. My Lord." And then as another part, because I really want to know you. I really want to go with you. I really want to show you, Lord, that it won't take long, my Lord. And when he uses that word, Lord, it's not to Jesus Christ or to Jehovah God, but he's talking about Krishna, the god Krishna. And as he sings that song, there were some background singers that were singing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And after about, the song was kind of long, it was about 4 minutes, I think. And maybe about 2 minutes into that song, the background singers, instead of saying hallelujah, they switch to Hare Krishna. And as he sang, my Lord, my sweet Lord, he was singing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And they would kind of interchange between that and hallelujah. And what you have in this song is a mixture of that is holy with that which is unholy. And that's an abomination in the eyes of God.
So the word hallelujah is our word that belongs to the church. And we say it because we love the Lord, and we say it as a praise to Him. But they were saying the same thing to Hare Krishna.
To Hare Krishna, that's correct. And of course, we all know that the word hallelujah is the universal word of praise. But in this instance,
you know, I remember Ray Hughes saying that the word hallelujah is a universal word, and he tried to say it in the different tones and with the different interpretations of different cultures. And I remember how I was so thrilled to hear the word hallelujah as a universal praise to God.
Yeah, that's right. And all languages that I have been exposed to, it may be pronounced a little different.
Yeah, that's right.
Always, you can always recognize what they're saying. I know, I remember being in some of the Arab countries, and the way that they pronounce hallelujah, they would say alleluia.
Yep, alleluia.
Yeah, and it was, you know, you knew what they were saying. And in some of the Spanish-speaking countries, they say hallelujah. And but again, you know what they're saying. And
Brother Hughes, when he preached that, he imitated all the different cultures that he knew about, and you could tell in every case it was the same word.
Yeah, that's right. You can always recognize it.
Now, what's happened today?
I'm sorry?
What's happened today with that song?
Well, this song, I have learned, is being sung in Christian churches around the country, throughout America. And they will have a vocalist who sings the chorus, the verse. But then there are background singers that are singing hallelujah. Now, I haven't heard anyone singing Hare Krishna. However, that doesn't make the song a Christian song. And I think you mentioned this at the beginning of the program. The spirit with which a song is written, that spirit remains with that song.
Absolutely.
No matter who is singing and no matter where that song is sung, whether it's on a stage at a rock concert or whether it's in a church setting, that spirit remains with that song.
Our whole world is a spiritual world, either good or bad, and you cannot separate them. And everything about life is reflected in one of those moods.
Absolutely. And music is one of the great methods that Satan's using now to get into church that have had a strong stand on holiness, but for some reason, I think God is being let down, and this type of music is coming in to conservative holiness churches. Now, I'm not saying that any of them are singing My Sweet Lord. I haven't heard that. But I do know music in some churches that written by these secular artists, and the lyrics and the melody to those songs, it still remains the same whether it's sung by a secular performer or whether it's sung by a choir or a quartet.
Brother Joey, I was looking at some of my notes from a video I did on Beatle music in the church, and I have a quote from Cooley, who was the music director at the Brownsville Big Assembly that had this false revival there. And he said to the preacher, and I copied this off of the video, inhabit my notes. He says we could sing this song to a lover.
Oh, yeah.
So the same songs and the same words could be sung to a lover in a marital relationship or a fornication relationship that he said we're singing to the church. And he made the notion that we've never sung things like this before. This is more honky-tonky, he said, than it is a church music.
Well, I mean, that's absolutely what's happened. And you're right, about much of this contemporary music, it's like a love song to me. There's one, I think, that is pretty popular now that's called Hold Me. And I listened to part of that song. I couldn't listen to it all. I just couldn't take it. But anyway, the word Jesus or the name Jesus is even mentioned in that song. And it's like the person singing is singing to their lover. It's not a song in praise to God.
Let me tell you something I did, and this was a short time ago. I have sorrow. I have a special thing on my radio in my car, and they have a full-time music for Southern Gospel and a full-time music for Christian rock. And I spent 2 hours with my radio listening to each of those, and I had my note in front of me, and I kept notes of all the Bible I heard in gospel singing and all the Bible I heard in contemporary singing, and I heard no Bible in contemporary singing but one time in the whole 2 hours. One time. It was just not there. I mean, I'm listening. I'm keeping notes. I'm being very careful. I didn't pick the songs. They picked the songs. And I just simply sat in my car and listened and wrote down what I found on the gospel, Southern Gospel station, and what I found on the contemporary music signal, and it was a world of difference. I could not believe it.
Yeah, and another thing that I have learned is that there are some of these contemporary Christian musicians, the singers, and they cross over. They not only sing Christian music, but they go into the world maybe of soft rock, easy listening, or pop music. They just don't sing Christian music. And that's very dangerous, you know. When I got saved over 40 years ago, the preachers really taught us that we should not listen to the world's music. And I remember myself, I had cassette tapes back then. Of course, we didn't have CDs. We had vinyl albums and cassette tapes. And I remember getting rid of those things, going by dumps and just throwing them in. And those men, they realized the danger of the world's music. But now it's like that the guard has been let down, and that music has come right into the church under the guise of Christian music.
You know, I remember a preacher man, well known in the denomination that I was part of, and he started promoting, and his words were exactly what I'm saying. He said, rock music is the future of the Pentecostal church world. And he said that about 30 years ago, maybe 32. I heard him personally. He was the music director of a church in Atlanta, and he said rock music, and this was part of my denomination. He said rock music is the future music of the Pentecostal church world. And boy, was he right. I had no idea that could happen.
Well, I've just kind of been blown away with how this music has crept into the church world. And one thing about rock music has a different beat to it. It has a backbeat, they call it.
A discordant beat.
And I have read for backbeat to rock music that that's the chief characteristic of that music and much of the world's music. And I've got some quotes here. Chuck Berry He was, of course, a rock and roll musician. He said, I dig that rock and roll music. It has a backbeat. You can't lose it.
Say that again. Now, read that again.
All right. This is what Chuck Berry, and this is a quote. I dig that rock and roll music. It has a backbeat. You can't lose it.
You can't use it. Lose it.
Can't lose it. And then Elvis Presley, he said this about rock music. It's the beat that gets to you. If you like it and feel it, you can't help but move to it. That's what happens to me. I can't help it. Now, I remember when I was just maybe in my preteens or early teens, Elvis Presley went on the Ed Sullivan Show, and they would not show him from the waist down. It was only from the waist up. The reason they wouldn't do that, now this is on television, is because he would, when he sang, he would gyrate his hips, and that was considered vulgar back then.
Yep, exactly. I remember my wife and I worked at Western Electric, and there was a beautiful lady worked beside her. She was a lovely lady, but she was of the world. And I remember her going to an Elvis Presley concert in Burlington, North Carolina. And I remember her telling what happened to her sexually sitting in his concert. I will not tell it on air because it was vulgar. But she told exactly what happened to her sitting in the concert with Elvis Presley.
Well, there is a popular preacher, and this is a statement that he has made about rock music and all kinds of music. He said that God loves all kinds of music because he invented it. He invented it all. Fast, slow music, loud and soft music, old, new music. And he said, you probably don't like it all, but God does. If it's off to God in spirit and truth, it is an act of worship. Well, what I think that man fails to realize, Satan, before he fell, was a musical being.
Yep.
Created angelic being.
No doubt about it.
Yes. But when he fell, and Lucifer fell and became Satan, see, he corrupts everything that he touches.
Everything.
And he has corrupted music. And the world's music is that music that Satan has corrupted. And the Bible teaches us that we are to separate ourselves from the world. And that goes far beyond our manner of dress and our manner of speech. But it has to do music that we sing and that we listen to with our ears. We're to separate ourselves from anything that's of the world.
Well, you know, I remember just recently a music director told me that a pastor he had asked a new music director, let's sing Amazing Grace this morning. And the music director said, I'm sorry, but I don't know that song. Now, can you imagine? This is a church in Charlotte. And the music director said to the pastor, that music director is not there any longer, and I don't know the consequences, but he said to him, I don't know Amazing Grace. Now, here's a man who's been to college. He's got a degree in music, and been to a Christian college, too. I can name the college. And he didn't even know the song Amazing Grace.
Well, I had a similar experience. I was in a church, and of course, we're Pentecostal. And I had preached one night on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And when I gave the invitation, I asked the person playing the piano to come and play, Oh Lord, Send the Power right now. And it's that, of course, the name of that song is Oh Power. Well, I embarrassed that lady, and I sure didn't mean to do it, but she didn't know the song. And so we've got people in our Pentecostal church that don't even know some of these old songs.
And now let's go a little further. Our time will get away from us here. What about the smoke and the not only smoke but the strobe lights and darkness in the sanctuary while the choir performs, turn the lights off in the sanctuary. What about those kind of things that is becoming big time? I can name the churches. Big time.
It's kind of funny you had mentioned that. I was talking to a lady just this week, and she had visited the church, and she was just broken up because she has family members in this church. And she said that walls painted black, I think maybe the ceiling was, the stage was black, and said they had all of the smoke and the strobe light. You know, in there.
Wait a minute. Now, a church painted black?
Yes, and I have seen some, like some that I've been in, that are painted black.
That's insane.
Well, I think it is, too.
Now, what would be the reason that a church would want to paint their walls black?
Again, they're patterning after the world. What you would see in some type of a worldly musical concert.
You know, I wrote the words that go at the front of the presentation of this very program that will be on Facebook and already on internet. I wrote the words that this kind of life and this kind of music will take you further than you had any intention of going. It won't just stop with the music and the beat. It will do all kinds of things. And so when I started hearing about churches that literally cut out the lights and all this kind of strobe lights and all the smoke coming up around the thing, I thought to myself, why would we want to do that? What value does that have in relationship to God?
Well, it doesn't have any. And get back to this song, My Sweet Lord. That song was written, and this again is what George Harrison said. It was written as a Hare Krishna chant. Chant. It's called a mantra, and I never really knew what mantra was until I got to digging into this. But the mantra is sounds and syllables. It's words that can be repeated in order to produce what they call a positive transformation in a person. And so when you go
into an altered state of consciousness.
Exactly. That's what I'm leading to. And when you go into these churches and they are painted black, the smoke's coming up, the strobe light on, and they begin to sing the songs of the world now, and they're calling it Christian, it can produce altered state of consciousness, person open up mind to demon possession.
And if you don't believe that, you question one of these dudes and you see how they get in your face.
Well, what's sad is it looks like to me that a lot of Christian people have lost their discernment. And they cannot discern that this music is so dangerous. And many of our young people are being swept away by it. And it breaks my heart to see that.
It breaks my heart, I'm telling you right now. I mean, right on the verge of the coming of Jesus, the church would go in this direction. It seems completely insane.
Well, that's what sin is, brother. Sin is insane.
Yeah, I preached a sermon years ago on the insanity of sin. Remember the prodigal son was sitting on the hog fence, and when he came to himself. You remember that statement?
I sure do.
When he came to himself, that was the text of my sermon, The Insanity of Sin. How the sin takes away. And you know what? Do you know what Rush Lombard said on the radio yesterday? He said, I'm telling all of y'all, you've got to hear me. that these liberals have lost their senses. They are in a state of stupor. These are not his exact words, but I'm having the paraphrase because I don't remember the exact quote. He said, they're in a state of stupor. They have so lost their sense of things and right and wrong that they are absolutely, absolutely losing their mind.
Well, and you apply that in a spiritual sense.
Yeah, that was only secular he was talking about.
Yeah, but if you apply that spiritual sense, what's happened within the church world, the same thing. It's exactly the same thing.
Exactly the same thing. And they don't care a thing about clean living. They don't care a thing about loving purity, loving righteousness. I have learned, here I am at 82, Brother Joe, I love righteousness more than I ever have in my life because I see how it's protected my life.
And, you know, that brings me back to this music thought again. Can I read you some of the words to the song, Cleanse Me?
Yeah, we got about 5 more minutes. Go ahead.
Okay. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free.
Fanny Crosby.
That was written by a man named Edward Orr.
Okay.
Yeah.
But Fanny Crosby sung it.
She may have. I don't know.
Okay.
That.
That's great.
But I mean, my point is the depth of theology in these gospel songs is just overwhelming to me, and we don't have that in this modern contemporary Christian music.
Absolutely not.
Like a mantra.
Now you got to go. You got to tell us about this lesbian woman that is writing Christian songs.
Well, I don't know a lot about that. I've read a little bit, but I know that there's one that's out there that is writing some Christian music.
And she took pictures with a noted singer that I've heard his name many, many times.
Well, it just goes to show you, I think, how the gospel music industry is just embracing all of this that comes from the world.
Well, do you have any other quote of people who are for that music that people might enjoy hearing with about 3 or 4 minutes to go? I want to take a couple calls from my audience. We're over in 16 minutes. Do you have a couple quotes?
Well, one thing, and I mentioned this, that there are contemporary artists who cross over and sing contemporary Christian music and then, you know, maybe pop music or whatever. And many of these contemporary Christian artists, they get their inspiration from the world, and they're... And I hate all names. I'm not going to do that. But there's one that is really popular. And this person said, I love to hear Billy Joel, Kenny Loggins, and the Duke Brothers. And then...
And those are all secular singers.
These are all, yeah.
I don't know those names because I'm never around that kind of music. And you're doing the digging and the research.
Well, here is another person who is a guitarist and a vocalist with a popular contemporary rock group, and they produced an album that was called Crimson and Blue, and on that album, that group paid homage to the Beatles with 2 or 3 of the songs that they sang.
A Christian artist group paid homage to the Beatles.
Right. And then there's another, now this man is dead, but anyway, he was a Christian rock, contemporary Christian rock artist. And he said that he was influenced most now by B.B. King, Jimi Hendrix, and Billy Gibbons. All of those were secular, worldly musicians. And, I mean, that the list just goes on. That's just three right there that I've quoted to you.
Well, what we've got is a Christian world that is losing all sense of direction, all sense of leadership. The Holy Spirit is as distant as is possible to be. And they you know, I was going down the highway to Raleigh years ago, and I was watching my church change. That was when I was still in the denomination. And I was weeping, and I started praying. And I remember crying out to God, God, tell me what's happened to Pentecost. And you know what the Holy Ghost said to me before I could even get my breath? He said, they've learned to do it without me. They don't need me anymore.
That's right. And much of this music, all it is religious entertainment. There's no anointing. In fact, the Holy Ghost cannot anoint this type of music.
Cannot anoint it.
It cannot do it.
They've got to create it with drums and with strobe lights, with smoke, with atmosphere. And they got to turn it, and they actually will say, we had a great revival tonight, but everybody leaves in worse shape than when they came.
Absolutely.
The smokers are still smoking. The fornicators are still fornicating. The adulterers are still adulterating. And all the wickedness is just as real when they leave as when they came. And I know so-called holiness preachers that go into churches and have a huge hoopla and say we had a mighty Holy Ghost move tonight, but nobody changes the way they live.
Well, if I can go off with this verse of Scripture, Brother James.
Okay.
It's in Ephesians 5 and 19, where Paul says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, make melody in your heart to the Lord.
Wonderful.
And spiritual songs are songs that can be anointed by the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Give a location of that again.
That's Ephesians 5 and 18.
Ephesians 5 and 18, and we'll read that again.
5 and 19.
5 and 19. I was going to read a bunch of the Psalms. I wanted to deal with the songs of ascent. Of the 15 Psalms where they marched up to Jerusalem. That sermon on Thursday morning by Ed Branch was one of the greatest sermons of our camp meeting.
Absolutely. I remember that sermon well. In fact, I thought about it earlier this week when I was preparing to preach. I thought about the sermon that he preached. Great sermon.
I will do my best to send you a copy Monday.
Okay, brother.
I love you, Joey Yates, and you're preaching here next Sunday, both sermons. Would you? You maybe ought to consider preaching that sermon you've been studying. You preached it in Florida this week, so you may ought to think about it. Okay.
I sure will.
The Lord leads you. I love you.
God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless you. What a brother. What a brother. I hope you understand that man is one more dear man preaching here next Sunday. Both services, you need to come hear him. Now, let's open the lines. Would you like to ask the question right quick? We don't have long, so we won't waste time. We have someone standing by to answer the phone. Let me put up the numbers so you have them in front of you in case you are a new listener. And you can call the first number, 704-391-0588. You're probably using a cell phone, so you really don't need to use the 1-800. That's the number we pay for long distance across America and Canada. So 704-391-0588. I want some calls. I want to hear what you got to say. What do you think about this? What are you thinking right now as you've listened to Brother Yates? What are you thinking? What's dealing with you? Do you want to make sure that you are attending a church that's full of the Holy Ghost, where the singing is Bible-centered and breathtaking and spiritual? Are you satisfied to go to these churches with strobe lights and walls painted black? I hadn't heard that one before. I'm overwhelmed with that. Grab your phone. Call quickly. I'll do my best to help you. We have a lady. We just have one anymore because we get so many comments on Facebook. Woo! I get up to 50 and 60 on Facebook. And many come by radio and phone and all other ways. But we're here, and this is all over the world. And we want to be a blessing to you. We really do. And you can get, I'm going to give you a CD of this broadcast. Anybody that wants a CD of this broadcast, I'm going to give it to you, okay? Anybody wants a CD of this broadcast, I will give it to you, and I'll send with that a copy of my article on the music in the church. I mean, this is a wonderful opportunity. I want you right in the middle of what we're doing. I want you right in the middle of what we're doing. I want to be a blessing to you. So grab your phone, and we will do our best to help you and minister to you. Call quickly. Our ladies will take care of you. You are important to us. And tomorrow, I want you in church. Paul Creek Church, right here in Charlotte. Address 5110 Tuckasegee Road, Charlotte, North Carolina. We'd love to have you. We'll treat you nothing but good. Love will meet you at the door. I promise you, love will meet you at the door. Very important. Really is. Very important. The music that's in apostate churches. I want you to get that, and I want you to understand it, and I want you to do something about the music at your church. And make sure you don't stay in a church that is involved in that kind of music. I beg of you. Now, we're going to get more calls than my dear lady can answer. And I'm sorry, if you get the voicemail, you leave your name and address, and we'll go right there Monday when the secretary comes in and get those addresses. And you can keep calling as long as you will. When the program's over, I'll help her answer the phone. But I'm here to tell you, we are living in a dark hour. It is incredibly dark. And the mess that's coming down the pipes is plain overwhelming. It is plain overwhelming. Now, everything is tied up. So if the lines are busy, you just wait a little bit and call again, 1-800-338-7884. And that number will be up during the music after I conclude. You'll get music for a few minutes so that I can leave the numbers there for you, okay? Very, very important. Very, very important. I want to be a blessing to you. I don't have a passion for anything but being a blessing to you, okay? I want to be a blessing to you. That's my desire. That's my heart passion, is to be a blessing to you and to help you grow and mature and really get the best that heaven has. And don't play with this mess coming down the pipes. I beg of you, don't play with it. Get yourself a straight path and walk in it. And don't go to places that are singing strange music. You don't understand the songs. You can't worship. Go where you can worship and hear the music. You love the music in this church. You've heard it on these programs. You'll hear another song in a moment that was sung last Sunday night. It'll bless your heart. I mean, we're here to be a blessing to you. I promise that with all my heart. Now, call quickly, 1-800-338-7884. And I want to go. Oh, I want to go. That's scripture. I've read it and loved it many, many times. I ought to have already used it, I guess. But, you know, these programs, I have but a limited amount of time. And I do my best to get you the truth and to bless you with it. And to bring you closer to God, that's my desire, to bring you closer to God and help you get the things of God that are so wonderful. Speaking to yourselves, listen, speaking to yourselves in Psalms, I read at the beginning, 100, Psalms 1, and hymns and spiritual songs. I'm going to tell you, they'll be full of the Bible if they're spiritual. Yeah, I like spiritual music. I like music that is wonderful. I love good, strong music. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Melody in your heart. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? What can you imagine more wonderful than that? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and in spiritual music. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I love him with all my heart. I want him to know that I praise him, that I praise him with all this in me. I got to so little of my notes, I am amazed. I really am. I don't have time now. I'll tell you three things that make a church. Three things that make a church. The three P's of a Bible church. The three P's of a Bible church. Number one, prayer. Number two, preaching. Number three, praise. Remember that now. The three P's of a biblical church: prayer, and preaching and praise. Remember that. Now, prayer and preaching and praise. I said that yesterday in chapel and never said it before that I remember. And it really got a hold of me. The prayer, the church, the house of God is to be a house of prayer. Did you hear Jesus say that? Jesus said, my house shall be a house of prayer. And then the Bible says that God has chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God has chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And then the Bible says, praise ye the Lord. Enter the house of God with praise and singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And I guarantee you, it's going to be melodious in this house in the morning. Melodious. Melodious. And the preaching of the word will be from the depth of my heart. That's all I can say, from the depth of my heart. I want God to do things for this city. I'm believing for the Holy Ghost revival. I'm believing for God to manifest himself. We don't want none of this junk coming down the paths. I'm here to tell you, there's going to be signs and wonders. They're in the making. God is fixing to reveal himself. This world's going to learn that God Jehovah of the Bible is the true and living God, and there's none other. Many won't believe it. Many will hate it. Many will hate him. Many will join the new world religion during the 7-year tribulation period. But it won't stop God, and it won't stop the saints of God, and it won't stop the people who've got the courage to do what the Bible says and live like the Bible said live and conduct themselves in a godly fashion. Oh, it's wonderful to know the Lord. It is wonderful to know the Lord, to know his grace, and to know his mercy. I know we got to close, but I want to tell you good music will change your life. Good music will fill your mind with wonderful lyrics, wonderful words of truth, wonderful gospel story. I wish I had time, and I wish I could sing. I'd take you to one of the most beautiful songs in this Bible. I always loved it. I hope I can remember. Oh, yeah, victory in Jesus. I heard an old, old story. How a Savior came from glory. How he gave his life. Let me see if I can read. His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning and his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and joined the victory. And won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus. My Savior forever. He loved me. Oh, I can't see it. A little bit of words. I can't see them no more. I'm so glad I sung them and memorized them because I can't see them in the book anymore. But I got them in my heart. I got them in my heart. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of my God and the mountains of his holiness. Beautiful of a situation is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. The city of the great King. I love you. I love you. Listen.
I just feel like something good is on its way. He has promised that he'd open all of heaven. And brother, this could happen any day. Oh, when God's people humble themselves and call on Jesus. When they look to heaven expecting as they pray. Oh, I just feel like something good is about to happen. And brother, this could be that very day. I have learned in all that happens just to praise him. For I know he's working all things for my good. Every tear I shed is worth all the investment. For I know he'll see me through, he said he would. He has promised, I know ear can hardly fathom. All the things he has in store for those who pray. Oh, I just feel like something good is about to happen. And brother, this could be that very day. Oh, I just feel like something good is about to happen. I just feel like something good is on its way. He has promised that he'd open all of heaven. And brother, this could happen any day. Oh, when God's people humble themselves, call on Jesus. When they look to heaven expecting as they pray, I just feel like something good is about to happen. And brother, this could be that very day. Oh, I have learned in all that happens just to praise Him. For I know He's working all things for my good. Every tear I spend is worth all the investment. For I know He'll see me through. He said He would. I have promised.